Hi, this is Daniela Cambone. Welcome back to the Daniela Cambone Show, now on ITM Trading. Today, we are talking about the number one warning sign that capital controls may be coming sooner than you may think. Joining me today to talk about this is Nick Giambruno. He's a renowned speculator, international investor. He's the founder of Financial Underground and a frequent contributor to International Man. Nick, so good to see you. It's been way too long. How have you been?
Hey, great to see you too, Daniela. It has been too long. I've been quite busy. I follow the global macro situation very closely. And with all that's going on geopolitically and financially in the world, I have my work cut out for me.
Well, I was going to say, and right now you're in Argentina. Talk about being in the middle of a country going through major economic change. And I'd love to get your insights on that as well. But the reason I was like, man, I got to get Nick back on the show is I read with great interest one of your recent postings in International Man, the headline, the number one warning sign capital controls are coming soon and four ways to beat them. I like the fact you provide solutions. So let's talk about that, because this is the opening line of that this article. Weekends and holidays are the perfect time to catch people off guard. Like a street thug committing a mugging, capital controls blindside most people. Otherwise, they wouldn't be effective. So let's start with the basics here. First and foremost, what do you define as capital controls?
Well, capital controls come in many different flavors, but the underlying concept is that the government is preventing you from moving your money or spending it how you see fit. It should be something that's abhorrent to somebody who values economic freedom or lives in a free society. Seen the capital controls implemented in countries that are in dire financial straits, typically in the middle of a financial or banking or economic crisis, they slap on capital controls to prevent money from leaving the country. Now, what happens next? It doesn't take much imagination. Usually there's some kind of wealth confiscation. So you can think of capital controls as like a surprise measure to trap money within a country so that it's optimized for the government to steal. And that's happens in countries that have financial crises, banking crises. Seen it happen countless times. And it's happened in the US in the past too. So I think it can happen again.
And I want to talk about the United States, obviously, but you say weekends and holidays are the perfect time to catch people off guard. Do you have examples of when that's happened?
Oh, absolutely. Well, look, you can't announce capital controls ahead of time, because what will people do? They'll take their money out of the country. Imagine if people said, if, you know, the government of Greece or Cyprus said, you know what, we're going to have capital controls and then a 20% wealth confiscation on Wednesday. They say this on Monday. What do you think people are going to do on Tuesday? So they can't do that. They have to take people by surprise. What are some examples? We saw this happen in Cyprus, it's over 10 years now. But we see this typically happen in many other countries too. And weekends and long weekends in particular, and holidays are perfect time. The idea is you want to catch somebody off guard. And the way you catch most people off guard is to catch them on a weekend or on a long weekend, where most people aren't thinking that something like this can happen. But this is exactly when something like this can happen.
You mentioned Cyprus, Argentina, Lebanon, Venezuela, Iceland, Greece, we remember that one, Turkey, Russia, Ukraine, China, India, South Korea, governments in countless countries. And of course, the question is, well, could it really happen here in Canada or the United States? But we have seen examples of this.
Okay. Yes, it has happened in the United States. Don't forget, the U.S. government forbid average citizens from owning gold bullion from 1933 to 1974. That's a long time. And that's a form of capital controls. Like I said, capital controls come in many different flavors, but restrictions on gold and precious metals and monetary alternatives, that is the key. They don't want you to go to alternatives. They want you to go into their fiat confetti, where they can eat more easily steal it. So it has absolutely happened. And when did that happen? That happened in the depths of the Great Depression, where FDR came out and surprised people and said, guess what? Well, previously, you know, the people had gold and the dollar was linked to gold. He confiscated it and then he revalued it and basically took the purchasing power away from citizens. So there's a wealth. It's the same pattern. It's capital controls always precede a wealth confiscation. And that is a perfect example. The 1933 example in the US, and then it stayed illegal. I mean, there was serious prison consequences. You could go to jail for up to federal
10 years
prison
in
for up to
prison, you're
10
right. 10
years.
and a $10,000 fine, which would be $235,000 equivalent today. And Nick, let's not forget Canada during the trucker strike, we saw bank accounts frozen.
Oh, certainly. Look, that's another ball of wax, bank accounts. But yes, a bank account really is vulnerable to all sorts of problems, capital controls, wealth confiscations. The money, I tell people three things about bank accounts. The money isn't your money, it's the bank's money. The money isn't even there, even if it was your money. And the money isn't money, it's fake money, it's fiat money, it's confetti. And this is what people have in bank accounts. So bank accounts are very, very precarious.
Well, because we grew up thinking the banks are your safe place. Like you have, this is the, who else could you trust with your money, right?
Yes, but you got to think, you got to do critical thinking and not just rely on what has worked in the past, because those three things that I just said are absolutely true about the banking system, and most people have no idea. They think the bank has some money reserved for them in the vault for them, especially that is
Yes.
like marked for them that they can come pick up whenever they want. That is absolutely not the case, and it's the opposite of informed consent, in my opinion.
So let's talk about, because like I said, you provide solutions. So four things we can do to prepare for this situation. Actually, before we get there, because a lot of what you're speaking of, I don't know if you read The Great Taking by David Webb. It's kind of
I
a book
did.
that went viral recently, but right. So I mean, and he speaks of this, right? Another depression-like event happening where they could take all your possessions, basically, your house, your car, the money in your bank.
Yes, absolutely. Well, yeah, that is another thing too, is that we're talking about the money in the bank account is not really what most people think of it is. It absolutely the same is true of stocks and bonds in your brokerage account. It is not how people imagine it, because you are not technically the owner of the stocks and bonds in your brokerage account. The broker is, and you have a promise from the broker. You have an IOU. It is absolutely not the same thing. And the reason is because if the broker ever got in trouble, if there was another widespread financial collapse, guess what? The stocks and bonds that you think you own are you don't really own them. They're going to be used to satisfy the creditors of the bank, or excuse me, of the brokerage. And guess what? You're an unsecured creditor, so they're going to be used to satisfy somebody else. So yeah, it really a lot of the stuff in the financial system is a big illusion that most people don't understand, and it's ripe for problems in the next crisis, to say the least.
So let's get to solutions here. Walk us through four things we could do or and actually should be doing.
Absolutely. So, how do you look? The thing with capital controls is you're never going to know the exact moment that they're going to come. However, it's much better to be a year early in your preparation than a second too late, because once they're implemented, it's too late. You can't do anything about it. So, four things. One is have a foreign bank account. This is not really the ideal thing, but it's better than nothing. So, people in Cyprus. If they had a bank account in Switzerland, that wealth was fine. They could the people, the politicians in Cyprus couldn't touch it. Number two, foreign real estate. If you can ha afford to have foreign real estate, that's great because that's a form of wealth that's outside of the borders of your home country. That's not going to be affected in capital controls. Three, I think Bitcoin is an excellent way to mitigate capital controls because it's a very portable form of wealth, very easy to subvert capital controls. And four, physical gold held in a safe jurisdiction. So say like the Cayman Islands, Singapore, Switzerland. You want physical gold. You don't want you want it allocated in your name. You don't want any other competing claims because when the financial if the if and when the financial system really starts to collapse, you absolutely do not want to have any sort of ambiguity on ownership. You want to have direct ownership. You don't want other competing claims. So you want to have that physical gold with no other competing claims in wealth-friendly jurisdictions. Those are the four ways you can really preempt capital controls. And really, preempting capital controls is preempting wealth confiscation, because wealth confiscation always comes after capital controls.
So, a couple questions. On the first one, how difficult is it? I mean, I know I have bank accounts in other countries, but I have citizenship in those countries. How difficult is it to open a bank account, say in Switzerland, for example? I mean, do you need to show that you have a residence there, or I mean, How hard is it? Or maybe it's not.
You know, this is a constantly changing thing. It's not, it's the requirements are changing always. It's not static. It's a moving target. Typically, it's not easy. You need to be a high net worth individual, and you have to jump through a lot of hoops. Yes, you can put money in a bank account in another foreign country aside from Switzerland, but banks all over the world have the same problems that I just mentioned a few moments ago. So yes, it's better than nothing. So let's say you're living in Argentina and you see things falling apart. Yes, having a bank account in a foreign bank account somewhere else is a great idea, but that's not the end
Yeah.
all be all.
So you like Bitcoin and gold, right? You're one of those rare people, I say, that you see both those assets as being a solution outside of the system.
Oh, absolutely. I think, you got to keep the big picture in mind here. The main, we're talking about money. And money isn't confusing. Money is a very simple thing. It's just a tool that sends value to store and exchange value. In other words, to send value through time and space. That's all money is. It's a tool to do that. So what is the dominant money in the world right now? It's fiat currency. Look at all the base money in the world. It's about $100 trillion, give or take. Then of course, you got the bond market, which is some more. And then all the gold in the world is like what, 13.5 trillion-ish? And all the Bitcoin in the world is about 1 trillion. So look, that's the universe of money here. And the biggest thing is the fiat currency system. So yes, I think gold and Bitcoin are superior to the fiat currency system. And I think as long as that exists, you've got two alternatives. Once the fiat currency system has totally collapsed and all of that $100 trillion has evaporated out of it, then I think that is when the gold versus Bitcoin thing is going to truly play out. But in the meantime, while we still have this horrible fiat system, you've got two very good free market alternative forms of money.
On the Bitcoin, right? Are you not concerned? I mean, we hear all the time, politicians hinting at the fact that they'd want to stop Bitcoin. So does that part about Bitcoin concern you that, could governments prevent or stop Bitcoin?
I think no, and I think the proof in that is, I guess they could inhibit it in their geographic region, but let's just say this. Let's say the US and Russia had all-out nuclear war and it destroyed the entire northern hemisphere. Europe is gone, North America's gone. Well, Bitcoin would be just fine in South America because of the way the network works. So really, there's not much they can do. And then you look at China, the Chinese government is pretty powerful. They've tried to ban it a number of times. Hasn't really worked. So the bottom line is you can't really ban Bitcoin any more than you can ban mathematics. And because if you can just memorize 12 words, which is how many popular wallets back up their funds, you can potentially store billions of dollars just in your head. You can't ban that. I mean, yes, they can try, but it's really not going to work out well for them.
I'm going to go out on a limb here, but I'm assuming you wouldn't want to own the ETFs, neither in gold or Bitcoin.
No, because you don't need to. Because why? Why take on unnecessary? Look, we're talking about a potential collapse in the financial system, and we're talking about the great taking. The last thing you want to do is to have IOUs of any kind, because you're not going to be at the top of the pecking order when when it comes time to figure out who owns what in these competing claims. You want to have unambiguous, clear, direct ownership of your assets, and physical gold allows you to do that, and Bitcoin allows you to do that. So why add on third parties? I think it's a terrible idea. Look, I know some people have retirement accounts, some people don't have the technical knowledge, some people don't want to store the gold, for example. Fine, but have open eyes. Keep your eyes open on the risks that you're taking. It is absolutely not this. Owning an IOU is absolutely not the same thing as owning the underlying asset without any claims.
Let me ask you this, because you've also been doing quite a bit of writing on central bank digital currencies. Obviously, it's a topic we've been covering for a long time here at ITM Trading. Your thoughts or insights as to how soon we could see them ushered in?
Yes, so probably soon, and I view that as a sign of desperation. Remember, the first central bank digital currency in the world was the Venezuelan peso. How did that do? Did that save the Venezuelan bolivar? No, it did not. And would a CBDC have saved the Lebanese lira? No. Would a CBDC have saved the Argentine peso? No. They introduced a CBDC in Nigeria. They really tried really hard. with all sorts of coercive measures and carrot and the stick. And guess
Yeah.
what? One out of 200 Nigerians adopted it. So no, the bottom line with CBDCs is they're just the same fiat currency scam on steroids. So it allows for even more currency debasement, even more control. So it makes a crappy currency even worse. So I'm not too worried about them. Theoretically, yes, they're very scary, but in practice, they are just going to accelerate the demise of the fiat system, in my opinion.
So you think if even if they are ushered in, they'll ultimately fail, and that's why you're not afraid of them?
Correct. I think it's guaranteed they will self-destruct. Look, communism was guaranteed to self-destruct too, but look how long communism took to collapse. It took generations. I don't think it's going to take that long with CBDCs. Why?
So
Because there's a very easy way to opt out of CBDCs. Buy gold and buy Bitcoin. That's how you opt out. Anybody can do it. It's
okay,
very easy.
but let's play out the scenario, right? Because Christine Lagarde's already, she had a New Year's message that, the euro is going to soon go digital and whatnot. So let's just play it out here in the US. The dollar, they force us to go digital, right? We're paying with this for everything. So there's no more paper money. But how would that just not work in your eyes and fail? Because they want it to
Well,
work. They want us to
because
be on digital. They're going to make it happen at any cost.
yes. Well, look, the thing is that there will be inevitable black markets. And I don't like the term black market. It's a black market is really just a free market that exists because of government regulations. Look, Argentina, for example, where I'm at in the moment, they used to restrict US dollars. They said you can only use the Argentine peso. It's illegal to use dollars in most circumstances. Did that stop people? No, all it did is it created an enormous underground free market for dollars or black market. I think the exact same thing is going to happen here. If they're trying to force everybody to use these crummy CBDCs that are debasing faster than the regular fiat currency, and they're forcing people to use this and saying you can't use anything else, what do you think that's going to do? It's going to cause an underground market, and I guarantee you that is what will happen.
Final point, Nick. Yes, you are in Argentina. You're really in the middle of the action. Tell me, what's it like being in Argentina amidst all the drastic economic reforms Milei is imposing?
Well, it's fascinating to see because what you have with Milei is you have the world's first anarcho-capitalist president, which kind of sounds like a contradiction in terms, but he actually really gets a lot of the stuff. So one thing that he did that is not very well known is that he abolished legal tender laws. It needs to see We need to see if it will stick. Legal tender laws are laws that force you to use the local fiat currency. He basically has said, use whatever you want to use as currency. If you want to use gold as money, if you want to use Bitcoin as money, if you want to use milk as money, he said, use whatever you want as money. We're not going to punish you. And that, I think, has not really been digested by the local Argentines nor the world. So I think there's a lot of potential. Look, it's uncertain. The jury is certainly out. We'll have to wait and see. But there is reason to be cautiously optimistic.
Nick Giambruno of the Financial Underground, thank you so much for joining us and thank you for watching. If you have any questions regarding building a strategy based on precious metals, gold, silver, please feel free to reach out to one of my incredible colleagues at ITM Trading by booking a Calendly appointment in the link below. It's in the description. And don't forget to sign up at danielacomboni.com so you can stay on top of all this great content. That's it for me. We'll see you soon.